be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. We have been traveling up and down a time frame all through Christmas. One minute, we're back with the shepherds in Bethlehem. The next minute, we're up and Jesus is 30 years old. And we went back and forth. The wise men come. The shepherds come. They find the baby with Mary, his mother. And we hear these stories that make us understand the mystery of Christmas. That is, the mystery of the incarnation. That is, the mystery of the Word made flesh. That God took his Word and placed it in a baby, so that when we heard this Word by seeing it, we would not be afraid, because who is afraid of a baby? A little one that's very much like us. And yet, as we know from the time that he was 12 years old, Jesus was said to be full of wisdom and grace, and he was like us in all things except for sin. So he comes today to the Jordan River. He comes to us here at these banks of the Jordan River to receive his baptism, just like you and I would have been baptized when we were little, or in some cases for some of us as adults receiving our baptism. It's a little bit different as a baptism, because John was preaching about repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And he had it right. And he knew that there was something amiss when Jesus came to him to be baptized, because Jesus had no sin. "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" How often do we have something happen like that, where we have someone that we're talking to that we realize they're really so much more advanced in the spiritual life than we are? They've found something that we don't seem to have. And then they turn around and ask us to pray for them. And we say, "How can we pray for you? You're so much better than me, or you're so much better than anybody I know." And then the person will say, "Let it be. Please pray for me, because I know that your prayer is powerful before God." And then we realize other people see us differently than we see ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we don't think that much of ourselves. Or sometimes we think too much of ourselves. And then we think, okay, which is it? Do I think too much of myself, or am I not humble enough? Or we get arrogant in our humility, which is the great spiritual dilemma. Think going around, I'm pretty good. I don't have much wrong with me. And then it dawns on us, uh-oh, I'm arrogant. And then we're back to the beginning. We go round and round and round. But the spiritual life should teach us that it isn't a one-way rocket to heaven. We have to work. We have to be adults. We have to be like Jesus, fulfilling those things that everybody expects of us. And in that case, Jesus coming to the river and being baptized by John was like saying, I validate what you're doing. You're baptizing for repentance, and it's good that all of the people repent. Jesus needed no repentance. He needed none, because he had perfectly done the will of God. He perfectly does the will of God, and he asks us to follow him. And then we say, Lord, how can I be perfect? I'm such a failure at times. I don't always get it. I try, but I don't always get it. And then that word from heaven comes. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. I love you. And then it's all better. Because we know that no matter what we do, no matter how hard we've tried and we've failed at things, God has never turned his back on us. He is always present to us. He's present to us in the sacrament of baptism. Every time we renew our vows, I reject Satan and all his works and all his ways. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Even if sometimes we think we do it half-heartedly or we don't do it at all, we still can cling to that truth of faith which we learned long ago, which has been instilled in us, which is ingrained in us. Peter, at this time in the Acts of the Apostles, says to those gathered, in truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whomever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know that the word he sent to the Israelites, as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how he went about doing good and healing those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We have heard these witnesses from the past, and we hear the witnesses of our childhood, the witnesses of our whole lives. God goes about doing good and healing those oppressed by the devil. We have an opportunity to participate in all of that. We're adults. We're expected to chip in. We're expected to go that extra mile, to help the poor, help those who are in need, help those who are uneducated especially, help those who need to know the Lord. Who needs to know the Lord? We all do. So we all have a responsibility. Today, the heavens were opened above this baptism that Jesus received, and the mighty voice of God came thundering out, just as it says in the psalm, the God of glory thunders, and in his temple all sing glory. The Lord is enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. That majestic voice came over Jesus, and he says, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. He is well pleased with his son because he is, as it said in the book of Isaiah, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. The Lord was chosen because he was the servant, because he knew who he was. He humbled himself and became the servant of all. He served us all the way to that cross, all the way to this cross, all the way to this altar of sacrifice, to his holy sacrifice, which is the same today, yesterday, and all the tomorrows to come. Every time we gather and we consecrate the bread and wine, we enter into Calvary. We enter into the divine moment of his Last Supper. We enter into all those moments when God was closest to humanity, at Sinai, at Pentecost, All of that is contained at this altar, in this place, in this time. Because the holy sacrifice of the Mass is not just a commemoration where we all get together and share a little bit of bread and wine together. The holy sacrifice is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice for us and for the love of the whole world. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him.